is public forum. Gita?
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. I have a handful of cards. It is getting late. I appreciate your stamina and being here as long as you have. This is your opportunity to speak, but in the interest of time, I do ask that you be concise, brief, to the point. If there's something that you've heard before tonight and you agree with it, just say that. If there's something new, please bring it up. The board and ourselves would love to hear it. So with that, the first card I have is Elizabeth Hernandez.
My name is Betty Hernandez. I'm a resident. I'm also on the I'm also on the CAC board. How do you do? It's nice to meet you all. This is my first water board meeting, so I'm nervous, but I came here in 1981 with my two young daughters looking for a safe place to raise my daughters and live a happy life. We found our house in thought we were home. Excuse me. Since then, many things have changed for us. I should add, I also have three other children, older children, but their lives have intermingled with us in this house also. And this house or home has been asked to accommodate all of my children and their families as the need arose. The memories have been mostly good and happy, but through it all, my house stood by and sheltered, comforted, and kept us safe, becoming more like one of the family. My home is alive with memories and experiences, successes and some failures, happiness and sadness, but always there for us. I plan to grow old there and live there like I was going to grow old there. The house next door was bought by my daughter and her husband about 15 years ago. It, too, was such a house, and I foolishly thought they would stay. On their 20 acres were also my other daughter and her family, and also my granddaughter and her family. What mother wouldn't be in heaven to have her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchild within walking distance? But that changed when PG&E offered a buyout and my son-in-law accepted. My life changed since the rest had to leave, and I have been struggling with that. That's not what is wrong. I expected someday that my daughter and her husband would move, but I thought another family would buy the place and I would have new neighbors. That's usually how it works. But no, PG&E flattens the land, leaving nothing behind. So all the memories and happiness are destroyed. Day after day, those left behind get to look at the familiar and friendly landmarks waiting for their turn to be demolished. It's unbearable. Change is hard, but it's not final like death, and death is what I see every day, and I can't get away from it. You have no idea what mental anguish I face. I cry daily. I can't help it. As I watch the trees and plants left to die turn brown as they die. The earth, once alive, is nothing more than a skeleton of what was. And the town where my children and grandchildren went to school and grew up is becoming a tribute to toxic waste brought on by PG&E's greed. Isn't it enough that they poison the land? Are they so big, a corporation, that they can continue to decimate what is left? They don't care and are now on a crusade to lay waste what remains. They have nothing to lose. They can destroy a town at their desire because, without a doubt, something that will make even more money for them is in the planning. Wait for 10 or so years and see what the death of a town has developed into with the guidance of PG&E. Everything I added to my home, bought and built for my home, created and made, it's all going to be destroyed, and along with it, me. I can't do what I have done in the last 20 plus years. I can't replace all the effort and love that went into my home, but no one cares. I am a thorn to be dealt with. So PG&D, or should I refer to you as you do, my good neighbor, I guess it's a matter of time. I wish you the fight of your lives and all the heartache you have given me. On the a couple of the items that are particularly difficult to choke down, we are, well, what a total definition, devastation, excuse me, of former homes in the Hinckley Valley have on the public left behind. How does this affect the mental health of these people who are left to watch homes of friends, businesses these people dealt with, and just generally buildings that were an important fixture in the community? How does this constant sorrow play on the positive mental health or attitude of these people? A daily dose of the cruel reality of this present situation can't be healthy, and we all know stress is now considered a cancer-causing factor. I can't think of a more stressed experience than the decimation of a once involved community-oriented population, where generations have lived, gone to school, and made lifelong friends. Now all the people who took the buyout, thinking there was a health issue with living here, have spread out to other areas. The continuity of growing up in this town and having your children go to the same school, well, that is now gone, destroyed by a large corporation. The comfortable and happy community has been destroyed. And for what? I can only suspect it wasn't done for the benefit of the people here. We are told PG&E is buying back properties at fair market value. That's not true. Fair market value is when I decide to sell my property, not my idea or my choice. This is not a decent value amount. Nobody will buy my property because no mortgage company will finance the transaction. No one can buy any Hinckley Valley properties unless it is a complete cash purchase. No money loaning business will even loan monies to repair, construct anything on these properties, or improve these properties. PG&E has a monopoly on the land transactions here, so fair market value is non-existent. They made the problem, and they need to own up to their incident, which began as a mistake but continued as an act of sheer greed and should have been punished as a crime. The one good thing that I have found in all of this is, as I was going to the meetings concerning CR6 in the groundwater, I understood the contamination of our groundwater was important, but didn't really understand the vocabulary. I have attended college and have a very good general vocabulary, but the technical jargon was not easy for me to digest, all the while trying to understand the seriousness of it all. The next meeting, the people from Project Navigator were there with not only the information on printed page and charts, but most importantly, their availability to answer questions and explain what the terminology meant, the travel direction of the underground water, and anything a person might have need of explaining. We were told they had an open office to anyone that wanted more information. We were made to feel welcome, and that attitude gave the public the feeling that our questions would be answered truthfully. Not all answers would be answered to our benefit, but they would be truthful. And that was a new experience, as PG&E, in my opinion, has always answered to their own benefit or just double-talked questions. I still ask lots of questions because this is a learning experience and changes come up every day. Believe me, I appreciate what Project Navigator has done for this valley and would protest any thoughts of discontinuing their assistance. I have so little confidence in all the mumbo-jumbo flying around, but this gives me peace of mind. Thank you for your honesty, Project Manager, and also for the high caliber of intelligence you employ. I am sure we will also find that the USGS, with Dr. Izbecki at the helm of the background study, also will give us truthful answers. Until these fine groups began studying the problem, the only professional groups involved were ones brought in by PG&E. And even if these groups were above board, the wording in their reports could be manipulated to come forth with a different opinion than the author intended. Humans make mistakes, quote, and we are all human. Now we have these two groups, Project Navigator and USGS, and they give me peace of mind. People need them to offer a balance check to the information given. I'm not a public speaker, so I can write things down, but I'm not a public speaker. So thank you for the opportunity, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next, I have Lance Eckhart with Mojave Water Agency.
Good evening. I'm going to be brief tonight, but I just want to talk to, just for a moment about partnerships and give you an update on our salt nutrient management plan and some of the things that have come out of the integrated planning process and working with the local regional board office. Since we started our integrated plan about a year ago, we've been able to utilize the SEP funds through VVWRA. But we've been working very closely with the local office, and we expect to have a workshop with regarding our salt nutrient management plan for the Mojave region in the next few weeks, and expect to see a draft, hopefully, as long as we don't have any large change in directions around the April time frame. And then once we get comments back, we can make some changes and hopefully get that thing wrapped up in 60 or 90 days thereafter, depending on the comments. So that's an update on the integrated plan, and just want to thank you for making that available to us through the SEP funds. It's been a real blessing, and it has integrated really, really nicely with our stakeholder group and keeping us focused on a regional nature. On a smaller nature, I want to also talk about the local office down here has really come out and been part of the regional plan. I actually volunteered Mike Plaziak as part of our integrated regional water management plan group. He didn't decline, so he's part of our working group. And we've been talking a lot about small systems and small communities. Two that I'm going to mention tonight are the Barstow Soap Mine Road neighborhood that's had the perchlorate issues. We've been working with the Lahontan Regional Board came out to our meetings and said this is a real problem. This neighborhood has nowhere to go. They're not really a thing. It's a neighborhood. They're not an entity. There's no one to clean up. There's no nobody to pay for that cleanup, and they've got no drinking water in this neighborhood. As a result, we've been able to talk with the regional board, California Department of Public Health. We've been partnering with a nonprofit, California Rural Water Association, who's really been stepping up and we're trying to roll into our integrated plan as being a facilitator for these smaller systems, because it's an area that we don't have a lot of experience in, but there's a lot of need that came out of the woodwork. And we're hearing that across the state. It's not unique. Disadvantaged communities and smaller systems really are looking for a leg up. So we've been utilizing a California Rural Water Association. They've been a godsend in this process. And we've submitted a grant application for local entity formation to make this neighborhood into a thing that can later receive grant funds, hopefully build a distribution system, and either drop a well in for themselves or hook into Golden State. But we're going to have to figure that out and see where we go. But it's really showing the power of collaboration and an idea that sparks and catches fire at the right time and helps the community. The other area I want to talk about, we actually had a meeting last night out in Hinckley, and the same type of a partnership and the same grant was applied for back in November of this year. And that's a partnership between the Lahontan Regional Board, California Department of Public Health, California Rural Water Association, MWA, and a local grassroots group, Hinckley Partnership for Healthy Living, all coming together. Submitted another grant application to form another local agency that can potentially receive funds for a water distribution system out in Hinckley. And those are very expensive ventures, but if you get grant funds to help the capital cost and defer that, it might be possible. And it might, for the Soap Mine Road area and for Hinckley, decouple the contamination issue from the town. And so the drinking water issue doesn't become, it becomes a decoupled. They have a potable supply. So that's really exciting, and I just wanted to mention all the things that have been coming out of the integrated plan, and really a lot of interaction from the local staff, from the Victorville office and the Tahoe office. And it's a lot of momentum, and it's been a little different than what I've seen in my 12 years working in the area. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate all the interaction.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Lester White.
How are you folks doing tonight? First of all, I just wanted to say that I'm in total support of the USGS doing the background study. I think it's long overdue, and we look forward to the truth coming out finally. And also, I wanted to mention last month, one of the oldest houses in Hinckley got bulldozed over, and it was my grandmother's house. And frequently, I go there and look, but there's nothing there. So, and also, there's businesses in Hinckley that insurance companies are rejecting and no longer covering, and they're calling it due to exposure, so these insurance companies aren't covering homeowners anymore. And I just want you to be aware of that. And I also got together with a group of Hinckley residents, and we formed Hinckley Partnership for Healthy Living to create this nonprofit organization to help us with the integrated water plan. We submitted an application to CDPH for entity formation, and we ranked 48 in their ranking criteria, and we are number 19 on the list of about 40 applicants in the state. And Hinckley Partnership for Healthy Living is a volunteer is volunteering right now. We don't have any funding yet, but what we're doing is on Tuesday nights we hand out bottled water at the fire hall to as long as supplies last. And that's being donated by Sparkless Water and PG&E. So we're moving forward with that and supplying water to people that are outside of the buffer zone. So it's very important that they all get that. And I was going to bring a presentation tomorrow, but I got a technical working group and a CAC meeting, I think, afterwards. So I can't sit that long. I almost couldn't sit this long. But that was it. I just wanted to give you guys a little update of what I'm doing and hopefully that CDPH will call sometime this month and give us more of an idea of how we proceed forward, and we're waiting on that. So, and after that, I should have a better opportunity to come and share with you guys exactly where we're at in the next meeting. So I just appreciate your guys' time, and if you have any questions.
Thank you, Lester. Next, I have Delia Aguayo.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Delia Aguayo, and I'm a Hinckley resident. Me and my father, Gustavo, have been working on the issues with our well drying up and the loss of our crops from the last summer. We have been working with the Lahontan Board and Project Navigator, and Project Navigator offered to have an expert come and do an analysis of our well. But at this time, we feel it is in our best interest to wait until Dr. John Isbicki with the USGS to be brought on board and have him address the issues on our well. And we are going to address this situation at the technical working group tomorrow. And I also have a few questions for you. The water board, what do you think about our problem? And because we need your help. And now another question. Why is PG&E destroying our irrigation wells if they're only supposed to be monitoring domestic wells? And I also like to mention that the meeting of last night for the integrated water plan was a very important meeting, and it is a positive thing that is happening at this point in our community. And thank you.
Thank you. And the last card that I have is Movita Hernandez.
Good evening, Movita Hernandez, a former Hinckley resident. I just wanted to point out the fact that, and first of all, I'd like to state that I'm a very proud of the collaboration and partnership that is ongoing between the Lahontan Water Board staff, PG&E, USGS, and Project Navigator in conducting the study. I think that there a conclusion will be reached. However, I just wanted to point out again that this is about the community that was once a thriving community of about 3,500 residents. They built churches for spiritual enrichment. They had a school for education of our children. There was a fire station. There was a post office. There was a market where you can get groceries. There is a gas station where you can buy your fuel for your automobiles and off-road vehicles. Our neighbors used to... myself and my neighbors used to joke that if we could just get a Red Box and a Del Taco, man, we'd be, you know, just living it up. People have raised their children. They've sent them to the schools. They've excelled academically, and now they've had to transfer them and transport them to other schools since the school closed. They've encountered medical issues. They've taken care of their family members and perhaps lost loved ones to medical issues and health problems. They've lived, they've loved, they've laughed, they've grown and raised their families and seen their families decline. And all of this, there are still some that reside there that have this sparkle of hope. I know there will be a conclusion at the end of the study. But I think that we can only achieve success if after the study has passed that a resolution is implemented that will allow the community to thrive and grow again as it once did. And I firmly believe, even though maybe not all the residents come to these meetings or the meetings that they have out in the community, I firmly believe that all they've ever asked for was safe, convenient water so that their community could be revitalized and continue to thrive. Thank you very much, and please drive safely to your destination.
Thank you. With that, that concludes the comments and public comment.
With that, and our great appreciation for your being here, your staying with us, not just this evening, but meeting after meeting, we will be in adjournment until tomorrow at 8:30.